From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in late 2009 when The New Yorker ran a story about chickens. The unusual name for the piece was The It Bird, subtitled The Return of the Backyard Chicken. Author Susan Orlean wrote the following, quote, "Chickens seem to be a perfect convergence of the economic, environmental, gastronomic, and emotional matters of the moment. Plus, in the past few years, they have undergone an image rehabilitation so astonishing that it should be studied by marketing consultants. Now that I actually have chickens, 7 at last count, I am the object of more pure envy than I have ever experienced in my life," end quote. But sometimes trends are a little bit slower to come to Western New York. Sure enough now, here we are, with a growing population of backyard chickens in the city of Rochester and in plenty of suburbs. There are questions about what's legal, what's allowed, what neighbors should know, how much do they cost? They can go through the winter, right? All of those things and more. We've asked a group of coop owners to come in, share their experience with us, and let me go ahead and welcome my guests for the hour. Dave Schein is the person who first contacted me and said, you really ought to know more about this. It's nice to see you in studio, Dave.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. John Paul Tackett, nice to see you, John. Jean-Paul?
It's actually just John Paul, not the French version.
Yeah. Sorry about that, John. John Paul Tackett is here, and you have how many chickens?
I have 5.
And where are you, by the way?
I'm in the city of Rochester near Cobbs Hill Park.
Okay, because we're going to be talking about Rochester versus Honey I Falls, which happens to be where Shannon Hyde is from, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And you've got how many?
We have over 50 egg-laying chickens.
Over 50 egg-laying chickens.
Yes.
Okay. And Monica Devine Haley, nice to see you. Where are you, Monica?
I'm downtown, right in the East End.
And how many chickens for you?
4.
4 for you. Dave, how many for you, by the way?
13 right now.
13 in Rochester?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to be macabre, but one of the things that I learned just in reading the opening of that piece in The New Yorker was that, as the author herself said, the number of chickens you own can be variable based on predators.
Yes.
Everyone's not. Has anybody at this table not lost any chickens to a predator? You haven't.
I haven't let yet.
Monica, you haven't. So you've got 4 chickens. Mm-hmm. How long have you had them?
Just over a year.
Just over a year. Okay. Mm-hmm. Does that make you nervous, the notion of predators?
It does. We do have hawks right in the middle of downtown. You wouldn't think that that would be our biggest predator, but I've come out into the yard twice and a huge hawk was swooping down trying to get my chickens.
Wow. I always thought foxes, no? Foxes?
Foxes are a problem, too. I had 14 chickens over winter. In February, I lost 7. Came out about 6 o'clock in the morning, and my neighbor said, I think something happened. And I found 2 bodies, 2 corpses on the ice, and a trail of blood a couple blocks. So it was a fox probably feeding her kits. And so now I have a really secure coop. It's basically a shed that I can lock up, and every night they get locked up, and every morning I get up early and let them out. And that's really the only way to keep them secure is in a freestanding structure.
Mm. John Paul, you lost any?
Yeah, I actually lost one to a raccoon last year. I've seen, living next to Pinnacle Hill, I've seen all sorts of animals, even turkeys right there, raccoons. So lost one last year, and in response went out and built a new chicken coop, an Amish-built chicken coop, and since then I've not had any issues with predators.
Okay, and for you, Shannon, it's a little different. You've got
more
than
we're in the country, so
you've got.
We've lost some to fox, a couple to hawks. So now we're really careful about locking up every night. But we also have a big net over our entire run area, and then we have a big area electric fenced in. So
okay, and Monica, the whole hawks thing, the couple incidents that you can recall, were those middle of the day incidents?
Yes,
middle of the day, they just come down.
That's when they're out.
Okay, so. We're getting a picture here now of just what life is like, but let's back it up here because Dave contacted me and said, you know, it's something we ought to talk about. You've got a group of about 80 families in this county who keep chickens. Is that right?
Yep.
What's the name of the group?
The Rochester City Chicken Club, and we're on Facebook.
Okay. And what's the goal of the group here?
Really just to do what we're doing right now, which is really share information about this, you know, for people interested in getting involved in it as a hobby or, you know, for whatever reasons they're interested. There's a lot more to it, I think, in the long term when you've been doing it for a while. the question arises after birds stop laying after they get about 5 years old, and they can live up to 10 years. So, you know, there's a lot of there are kind of humane issues as well. As you know, so we're there really for people who are interested in it to get good information about how to go about it and what the costs and what the responsibilities really are. It's not a lot day to day, but it's a substantial, I think, initial investment to do it right. And then it takes, you know, there's certain things you have to do. I mean, I learned the hard way. You have to really, that coop has to get locked up every night. It's really hard. There's the coop is where they roost and it's where they lay eggs. And that's usually a freestanding structure that's lockable. And then you have a run, an area where they can run around. And that's usually a fenced in. Mine's just wire fencing with deer netting over the top. And that keeps daytime predators out for the most part. But nighttime, no. I mean, a fox or raccoons or possums or anything, they can come right through that. So the only thing that's really going to secure them is a house, basically.
A coop. And so give me a sense here. If someone wants to get 3 or 4 chickens for their backyard, you're going to need to get the chickens. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you source them. And then you're going to need to get, well, you really do need a good coop. Mm-hmm. What's a baseline cost that we can think about, Dave?
I think if you're going to build it yourself, a couple $100 in lumber will do it. There are a lot of coops that are kind of mobile. That the first one I built was basically a crate with a roof on it, and on a pair of wheels, so you could move it like a wheelbarrow, and I could move them. There was a small run underneath, and they would roost up above. And that's a more southern kind of design. The birds didn't have trouble wintering over, but feeding them in the winter, getting eggs. It's nice to have a structure like a shed that you can go inside, keep your feed and the other materials. You know, if you've got scratch grains or whatever for the birds, keep those secure from things like, because you also have to actually worry about, besides predators, vermin too. Like you can get rats and or mice, and you don't really want squirrels to get into your feed either. So, I keep all those in metal trash cans.
Vermin not attacking the bird, going after the food.
Going after the food.
Okay. So. And again, what's the source of the chickens? Where are you getting chickens?
A lot of people go to Nature Berry Farm around here. I've gotten mine from different places. Shannon has provided me with the last batch that I got.
She's got like half the chickens in the county.
Yep.
Yeah. I follow. Yeah. If you want to call the program with questions or comments about this, fascinating to me, you can call the program, and this is a panel that can help you understand either what it might take or answer some of the questions you might have about owning chickens. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Dave, any surprise that The New Yorker called chickens the it bird?
No, they're a lot. You know, I didn't get them for eggs. I got them. Been thinking about getting them for a long time because I keep a big Victory garden, and my soil is backyard soil and it's thin, and so I wanted a natural fertilizer. When I was a kid growing up, my uncle worked for an airline, kept chickens in his backyard and used the chicken manure to fertilize a garden, and his garden was huge. It was always great. And I knew another person who did that too. So I was like, my daughter was in a preschool. They raised chickens from eggs. And they said, they put out the call, does anybody want these 3 chickens? And suddenly I had 3 chickens. And that's how I got started. And then they have a lot more charisma than you'd think. Particularly when you start thinking of their closest, they are the closest kind of living relative to theropod dinosaurs. I mean, they're like, this is like little mini T-Rexes running around. So, they're omnivorous. They'll eat.
Do chickens also have like tiny arms that are useless? Are they just like buried under the feathers?
Wings, they can't fly, so.
Yeah.
The wings are kind of the T-Rex arms.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah, they're T-Rexes that will sit on your lap.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, that is interesting. We have friends who got chickens a month ago, and I've seen pictures of chickens just jumping up, sitting on laps. I've never seen that.
They're very sweet.
The panel's agreeing with Dave. Yeah. They got more charisma than you would expect.
Definitely.
Chickens, yeah?
They can be. Operative, they can be very sweet.
See, we have roosters where we are, so they're not as friendly as the hens, so.
Well, let me kind of go around the table then and just ask why you all got them. Dave, you said you got your chickens because you wanted fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's been successful for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. John Paul, what about you? Why did you want chickens?
I started getting into them several years ago. I actually started watching a webcam of a chicken farm. It's flyingskunk.com, and you can actually feed the chickens by clicking a link on the website. So if you're not able to get chickens for whatever reason, I encourage you to check out this website, and you can just watch chickens. They have probably about 50 chickens, 5 goats. They have ducks now. So after just watching them, I just decided that I kind of would like to try it myself. And actually, David gave me the first coop he mentioned that he built. He actually gave it to me and 3 birds. So for me, it was pretty easy to get started into. I just needed to meet Dave first.
And off you went. Shannon, why did you get chickens?
Well, we lived in the city at the time, and I think I had this vision of cheap eggs. Not that eggs cost that much. I just thought, we'll have cheap eggs. And after spending a couple $1,000s, we had 1 egg after about 6 months. So it wasn't that bad, but I mean, it definitely wasn't what I thought it
would
be.
Well, how many eggs do they produce?
They usually produce 1 egg around every 24 hours when they're laying, but some breeds don't start laying till they're 4 to 6 months. So we waited about 6 months for our first egg, and it was an expensive egg, but it was totally worth it, you know, because...
That's the most expensive egg you've ever had.
It was the most expensive egg.
So they start laying around 4 to 6 months, and then they lay until they're about 5 years old.
Off and on. I mean, they'll lay, depending on the breed, they'll lay until they're about 2 or 3, and some lay sporadically after that until they're about 4 or 5.
Okay. That's really why you wanted them?
Yeah, we just wanted eggs, and we ended up actually going to a feed store and just out of the blue, before we even had a coop, buying 12 chickens, who ended up being 9 of them roosters. So we lived in the city at the time, so we had to get rid of the roosters, and we just added a couple more hens, and we ended up with 5 hens in the city for a couple of years.
Okay, now you're out in Honeyway Falls, and you've got more than 50. Why why the number?
Well,
there?
We sell eggs now, so okay. We have an egg CSA. Mm-hmm. We own a farm called Olive Egg Farm, and we mostly do rare breeds, like chickens who lay olive eggs, blue eggs. We just sell our eggs now.
Very cool. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the hour. Monica, why did you want chickens?
When I was 13, I had a few chicks that were... A farmer, I think, had brought them to the mall or something, and my grandfather, you know, hooked them up, talked to him, and got us a cage and a few little chicks. So I knew what that experience was like. We didn't keep them for very long because we didn't intend to have that. My parents never intended to have that, but I wanted my children to have that kind of experience, too, and to be connected to their food sources, which has actually been a really sweet thing to see. You know, it's nice when your son comes in from collecting eggs in the wintertime and with big gloves on and promptly drops it on the floor and then says, oh, it took her over 24 hours to make that, you know, and really see how valuable it is.
Definitely.
So we already have some questions coming in from listeners on just some of the logistics and how you do this. We're going to get to those in a second, but let's back up a bit. John Paul's kind of got a chart on what you're allowed to do and where, and Jake is already asking about noise ordinances, things like that. So without reading every inch of the chart, when you look at that, John Paul, do you get a sense for where you're allowed to have chickens at all or where you might not be allowed? How is it kind of breaking down?
Well, obviously Rochester is pretty liberal with their chicken policies. I also found Rondecoy has a pretty good policy on them. Any other ones you guys know of?
I can think of some prominent ones that don't. So like Greece, you're not allowed to at all.
No chickens.
No chickens. The restrictions in Pittsford are pretty severe, so very few, if anybody's going to have them there.
Parenton, I know, is
it's
pretty
the same.
Strict, yeah.
A lot of times it comes down to if folks in real estate think that it's going to affect property values, and they'll put restrictions in the code for that municipality, and so it really takes support from people in the community getting together and you know going to their city council meetings and getting the rules changed.
So number one, it sounds like if you're interested, make sure that you can legally do this check-in.
Absolutely.
With your town, wherever you live, et cetera. And already hearing from someone in Pittsford who says got chickens, so. If you've got chickens in Pittsford, call the program. I want to hear from you about what they told you. Because, as you said, Greece, for example, can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend there who wants to desperately, and she hasn't been able to.
And again, the reason they give you is it's more about property values, less about noise,
well,
or sometimes
they don't have to give you a reason. It's just whatever's in the code regulations for the municipality. But that's typically the reason. Either people think they're going to be dirty, or they're noisy, or what have you. I mean, the city of Rochester doesn't allow roosters for a variety of reasons. One, the noise is one, and I would imagine that it would make it much more difficult to police the cockfighting trade as well.
Okay. Is there a number in the city of Rochester, for example? Is there a number of hens you are allowed to have? Is there a maximum? Some
30, I believe.
30.
Yep.
Okay.
Up to 30.
So that's pretty permissive. Mm-hmm. Dave, should I be surprised that Rochester is, as you said, kind of liberal in this?
It was a little bit of a surprise to me too. But this set of regs for chickens in Rochester, I believe, has been on the books since about 1999. Some enlightened chicken person got together and put it through. My only criticism of the city's current regs is the fee. There's an annual fee. It's $37, which seems rather high. And there are I think the price of that fee prevents a lot more compliance than they otherwise get. So
$37 a year if you want to own any chickens.
Yep. Okay. That's for 3 or for 30.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, gotcha. And Jake asked just about cost then. Are you buying adults or chicks? And how much does an individual chicken cost? So who wants to tackle that there?
Well, I sell both chicks and adult birds sometimes. I mean, if it's a hen in her prime, you know, she's 8 months old and she's just starting to lay eggs and she has 2 years of egg-laying potential, depending on the breed, between $25 and $150. For an adult chicken. But also that's kind of with like rare breeds and stuff. Chicks, you know, at the feed store, if you just go and get chicks, you can pay between $2 and $5 per chick probably.
And $5 per chick versus $25 to $150 for a chicken.
Yeah, I mean, you've taken that chicken from a chick and you've put feed into it for that long. And, you know, most of the time I'm putting more than that and feed into them for what I sell them for at that age. So I try not to sell hens of that age unless I don't want them for a breeding program or something.
All right, so if you're thinking about costs, let's say you want 4 chickens, you're going to be paying anywhere from...
Well, New York State minimum, if you buy chicks, you have to buy a minimum of, I believe it's 6 chicks.
Chicks.
Is that correct?
But what about chickens?
Chickens, I mean, no minimum, hens. But nobody would just buy one chicken. They should at least be in pairs. So, yep.
Okay.
You know, if someone's just going to of someone just buying a couple 6-month-old laying hens, they might pay between $20 and $25 for a regular old red laying hen or something.
Okay, so about $25. So if you want 4 chickens, 4 hens, let's say you're paying $100.
Yeah.
And then as Dave said, you want to build a coop.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a couple $100 in lumber, or you can, you know, sort of pay to pick one up or have someone build one for you.
Yep, drop $1,000, and there are lots of Amish-built sheds.
We used Woodtex for our coop, and they're wonderful. They're down... near Penyan, and they sell them all over the place. So they're, you know, very reasonably priced, between $1,000 and $2,000 for a 4x10 to 8x10 coop.
And that's where the chickens will eat. They'll be safe at night, and mm-hmm. they roost. Is that chicken speak for sleeping?
Yep.
Okay. So that's where they will roost.
They get up on a bar and they sleep up there. So they sleep standing up.
Chickens are funny. You know, we are finding much more about the personality of chickens than I ever thought we would. And then you may have to consider, again, an annual fee. Rochester, $37 a year. Honey, I Falls, any
no,
fee?
No, and we're zoned agricultural, so we can, we've got other animals like pigs and, you know, goats and stuff like that. So.
Okay. What's the food cost in general?
Well, average bag of, you know, just your regular feed store, maybe $13 to $15 for mm-hmm. a 50-pound bag of feed. We sell feed for $20 a bag for 50-pound bags, but we sell non-GMO feed from a dealer. So it gets a little more complicated if you want to stay away from GMO feed versus traditional feed.
Okay, and again, Shannon Hyde has more than 50 chickens. Monica, you've got, again, 4. So what on average, do you have in your mind what you pay a month for food for chickens?
I use one bag a month of food, so it's, you know, $13 to $15. And they can eat a lot of scraps from your kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing thing. Like, in America, we waste over 30 million tons of food in this country every year. That's just food waste. And if everyone just had a couple chickens in their backyard, you could pretty much eliminate food waste, you know?
Yep.
So
Val is helping me fact check with we had a question or a comment from a listener who was saying that you can only have three hens in the city of Rochester. That doesn't look like that's right. Val sent me a nice note there with some of the actual city ordinance. So for that caller, that's not right, that you can have a lot more than three hens.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. My permit, my current permit, because John Paul and I went in last week, allows me to have 13. And you just tell them how many up to 30.
Up to 30. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking right at the ordinance that our engineer sent over to me. So thank you for that, Val. And so that clears that up. But again, it's worth asking, you know, wherever you live, how many can you have? Some allow roosters, some don't, it sounds like. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're outside the city limits, it just depends on the town. But most villages are not going to allow roosters just because of the proximity to your neighbors. And for some reason, people don't like the sound of roosters. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great sound, but maybe I'm weird.
They can be a little...
Yeah,
stentorian with their voice.
Yes.
We're talking to four people who own chickens and are helping us understand, you know, sort of what's required. If you're interested, Dave Shine, Shannon Hyde, John Paul Tackett, and Monica Devine Haley are talking about their experience as chicken owners in various capacities in terms of how many they own, how long they've been doing it. And, you know, you just mentioned, Shannon, the food thing. Our friends who have chickens were telling us it's pretty remarkable watching the way chickens, for example, eat an apple core.
Oh, yeah.
Discarded.
They'll eat anything. Really anything.
You can't say anything.
Mm-hmm. They'll eat meat.
Yep.
They'll eat their own eggs.
Yeah, I haven't found anything that they won't eat.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, there's some things like they kind of shouldn't eat. Like, I think it's like onions and like avocado skin or something.
But I'd heard citrus too.
Citrus,
but I've given
yeah,
them some.
Can make the shells thin or something, but they'll literally eat anything. I mean, we keep a bin on our kitchen counter and we collect scraps all day in the kitchen for, you know, the pigs and chickens. And we just kind of divvy it up and throw it out there. And
is it good for them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
And healthy scraps. You wouldn't want to throw them like, you know, Little Debbie cookies all day and call it chicken feed.
And they would probably eat that,
they would eat it, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. They have a sweet tooth.
Yeah, they love sweet stuff.
Is there something strange about chickens eating their own eggs, though? That's a little trouble.
Well, we have a couple egg eaters who go into the nest boxes and I'll find some holes poked in eggs or a whole egg just smashed all over there. And so, I mean, they do, though. And sometimes if we have, like, a half-broken egg, I'll just throw it on the ground and they'll eat it with the shell and everything and it's gone. So... no food waste.
So in many ways, for people who compost already, do you guys not compost because of this? I mean, does it essentially your
compost,
food waste goes to chickens?
But we just compost more manure than we do food waste because most of our food waste can turn into manure via the animals.
What about you, Monica?
I don't compost. It's something that I've wanted to do, but, you know, didn't really know how to make sure that there weren't any mice or rats or anything. I do live near a lot of dumpsters from restaurants in the city. I know they're there, and I don't really want them in my yard. So at this point, my chickens are my compost.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dave?
I do compost. I have two bins going, usually my active and my one that I'm emptying out. And there are some things like some peeling. I'm trying to think of what we actually end up putting in there. Oh, coffee grounds. Not really particularly good for chickens.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. Coffee grounds and, you know, a lot. There, we have two bins on the kitchen counter, one for the chicken scraps and the other one for the compost pile. And they get emptied every couple of days.
Okay. John Paul?
I did maintain one at one point, but since I expanded my chicken coop, I actually had to fill that space with the chicken coop. But it's something I would like to get back into, but... I'm able to give them so many of my scraps that I really don't have a great deal of compost anymore.
One of our listeners talking about roosters said, I would never want one. I already have a toddler waking me at an ungodly hour. and then a friend of mine who got those three hens in the village of Pittsford says, the village of Pittsford didn't say we could not have a rooster, but asked us kindly not to get one. We complied. Not sure about town code on that one, but green-lighted three hens.
Yeah, and I think it's more like your neighbors are going to enforce it, too. Like, they would say, like, hey, it's really loud, you know, and it's just kind of a courtesy, I think, if you live close, in close proximity to people, not to have a rooster, but, you know.
Well, what is good neighborly conduct, then? Let's say you don't have chickens, you're thinking about getting them. You know, do you warn your neighbors? Are you telling them expect eggs? Are you anything, Dave? You're shaking your head.
I would never warn them.
No.
That's
start giving them eggs quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's there's a saying that goes along with this, and I can't remember what it is, but it's like, if you have them in place and they have to object, that's one thing. Yep. But if you ask for their opinion beforehand, they're almost always going
to
say
it's
no.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Thank you. That's it. That's what
so
I was looking for.
Don't warn the neighbors.
Don't. But bribe them liberally. You know, you've got eggs coming every day. I spread them around. I barter with them and give them to neighbors.
How many of you have had complaints from neighbors? Any? Dave, you have.
Oh, yeah. Up until I actually didn't have a license in the city. I didn't keep a license for the first 3 or 4 years because I never had any issues. And then some neighbors moved into the rental next to us who were unpleasant, and they found that as an excuse to call the police on me every chance they had. And after 3 or 4 calls, after the first call, when animal control came out, they said to me very, very sweetly, "The setup is fine. You have to, but you have to have a permit. Get your permit, or next time we come out, we will have to take your chicken." So I went and got a permit, and that was about 5 years ago. Some chickens can be escape artists, and it can be really hard to keep them restricted. Currently, I don't have any escape artists in my current flock yet, but I did for a while, and I was constantly patching, finding new holes and patching, you know, to keep them secure. They usually didn't run very far, but, you know, these folks would call the police when there was a chicken in their yard.
Some people don't like chickens digging up their petunias and scratching up all of their flowers.
And they'll do that.
They're looking for insects and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We've got a couple people waiting on the phone with some interesting questions and comments. We're coming to you after this short break. We have a question from a listener about whether chickens are really good at bug control. Do they reduce the mosquito population and things like that? And we even have a question about other possible livestock. So we're talking chickens in the backyard, but we're going to expand that conversation with our panel. Dave Schein, Shannon Hyde, John Paul Tackett, and Monica Devine Haley. They all have chickens in their homes. And we're going to, well, not in their homes.
Sometimes
in their homes. Short break, answering your questions next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, Teen Empowerment and the Boys and Girls Club are two organizations that do so much for kids in Rochester. They were shattered by the mass shooting last week, but they are moving forward. We're going to talk to them about the wonderful things they do for kids in our community and how they're trying to build positively and move forward. We'll hear from them Wednesday.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from the Wealth Strategies Group at Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, offering financial planning strategies that are tailored to clients' needs. Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, investing in you.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. How many people at this table name their chickens?
I do.
I do.
All of you? No?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave, no?
Some.
Yeah, I have some too. All of them. Because some look exactly like other ones, and I just call them like redbirds. But then there's probably about 15 I have names for.
I ask because if the odds are you're going to lose one or two to a predator, is it more difficult if you've named them?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. My kids were named the first dozen birds that we had. I've probably lost, I don't know, probably between a dozen and a score to predators and disease and stuff. And they named all of them. I have one, the oldest one I have is 7 years old, and that one is named Kluckla. And I have a new one. The newest bird that I have was a rescue woman. Her coop got decimated by a predator. She was in the chicken club, and she said, "I have this Americana." And so I said, hey, you know, that I it's all alone. And I said, "Oh yeah, we'll take it." So we drove into the city and got it from her. And that chicken's name is Reba. And so it came with a name. But Shannon just gave me 4 birds. Actually, we have named them.
Oh, good.
It just occurred to you, you have.
Yes. Okay. But a lot of them I don't have names for.
Okay.
Right now.
John Paul, you name yours, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Monica, yes?
Yes.
And you've got more than 50. You can't name
them
all.
Yeah, I mean, we don't name all of them. But yeah. I still have one of my original city chickens from when we lived in the city. She's still with us, yes.
All right. Chris in Rochester, first on the phone. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi. I had called about pest control, but I think my question, the nature of my question, was a little different than you had stated, although that sounds very interesting. Let's see, we live in the North Winton Village of the city, and we had about 4 chickens, and we could not control the rat population, and I was wondering if anybody had any advice in that regard.
Yes, rats can be a really pernicious problem. All of my feed now I keep in metal trash cans with a lid secured.
And don't ever feed your chickens inside the coop. Mm. That's a big one.
Okay, so we actually kept the food. We don't have them anymore, just partially because of that issue and partially because life got out of hand. But we would keep the food in the run. Not the food, but we would feed them in the run. And it seemed like they wouldn't always finish their food, and that's what the rats were going after.
Yeah.
I actually buried about 8 inches of hardware cloth underground to keep raccoons out. Spent probably $1,000 on the new coop and everything, and hours of time, only to come out a week later to see that a rat had dug under it in one night. So that was definitely frustrating.
Yeah, you can set traps, too. Like, when we lived in the city, we lived next to an apartment complex in the city, so there were just rats because there were dumpsters, and they're just there, and, you know, the first source of food they find, they go after. And so we set traps, you know, just like the little humane traps, because I don't like the snap traps. It just leaves a mess. But we would set those, and then we would just collect them all in a box and dump them off on the side of the road a few miles down. So make it someone else's problem. But you shouldn't have rats if you keep your food contained, basically.
Everybody agree on that? Monica, have you had any rat issues?
We haven't yet, and we do have a cat, so maybe that helps.
Yeah, that would help, too. Okay.
An outdoor cat you have.
It's an outdoor cat, and gets along with the chickens. Sometimes they sit on the porch together.
Does that answer your question, Chris?
That does, thanks. Maybe we'll try again one of these days. And just for the record, we did name our chickens. We had a white leghorn that we named Irene after the hurricane because she got run over by a truck. But she was the best layer we had. So anyhow, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for the phone call. Next up is Michelle in Rochester. Go ahead, Michelle.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Michelle.
How are you? I feel like this is kind of cosmic for me because I've been fantasizing about getting chickens for a while, so I don't know if this is a message from the universe that I maybe need to be moving toward this.
It's nothing but coincidence. We don't believe in messages from the universe, but go ahead.
So we have a compost pile, and I am quite sure that there's a skunk that loves to rummage through and find the tasty tidbits whenever I bring the fresh batch out from the kitchen. And I think skunks are predators of chickens, yes?
They only go after them really at night because they're nocturnal. So as long as your chickens are locked up, you really won't see any skunks. At least they won't bother the chickens.
Okay. So he'll still be there, but hopefully he'll leave the chickens alone.
Yeah, he won't leave them alone, but you just got to lock them up and then he can't get in because they'll try to get in too.
Okay.
You're going to get him, Michelle?
Oh, it's one of those things of integrating it with all the other things in life and making sure that I really can make the space.
Just start with 2, and then you'll get 4, and then you'll have 20, and that's chicken math.
And then you'll move to Honeywood Falls.
And then you can move to Honeywood Falls.
Just browsing the poultry catalogs and looking at the friends of mine who have chickens, looking at their Facebook pictures of their beauties. It's going to happen someday. It's just organizing all the rest of life to make space for it. It'll happen.
I'm with you. Michelle, thank you for the phone call. She brings up, I think a question that a lot of our listeners may have if they're actually thinking about this, which is, what's an average daily time commitment? Give me a second. Monica, what's your daily time commitment? What's a day like with chickens?
It's really minimal. They need to be let out in the morning and food, water, and then, you know, at the end of the day, we go out and lock them back up, and we will go and visit them and give them little treats or scraps and just kind of check on them. But other than that, they look after themselves all day. And, once or twice a week, I do a really good coop cleanup.
Okay.
Yeah, the real time commitment is, I would say mine's about the same even for 13, setup. It's building the coop and getting the run set up and then getting it, kind of tweaking it so that it's right. So your birds are staying in there so that I have the water for them. I have a big tub that's attached to a spigot to a water barrel. So I just, when I see the water's low, all I have to do is, I don't have to bring water out to them, except in the winter. Winter, it's a little different. Winter, you have to haul everything out because they can't, once there's a crust on the ice, once there's a crust of ice on the water, they can't really drink. And they really need to have access to water all the time. So
Let me get back to the phones then. Judy and Victor's got a question on keeping them warm in the winter. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, do you have to heat the coop and so forth? And, I mean, it sounds like a huge expense. How would you do that? And the call screener answered one question about fertilized versus non-fertilized eggs. I thought you needed roosters to help make eggs, well, but I guess not.
The chicken will lay an egg with or without a rooster. And if you collect your eggs daily, there's no difference in having a rooster fertilize an egg or not. You just wouldn't want to have roosters fertilize eggs and let the hens sit on them for more than a week before you collected them. That would get a little messy. Have a half fertilized egg.
How do you keep them warm?
Yeah, in the winter, I never recommend using a heat lamp. Heat lamps are the number one cause of chicken coop fires.
I was just thinking anything. I mean, do you have to?
No.
Somehow they have to stay warm.
They stay warm. I mean, they're chickens. You could technically let them go, and they could go up in a tree, and they roost all together, and they would stay warm. Even in negative 20 temperatures, chickens can still be totally fine.
Depends on the breed. They don't get frostbite.
As long as you don't have water in your coop, they won't get frostbite. You can't have any moisture build up, and they won't have frostbite.
Yeah, I think they're more at risk of overheating than getting too cold. Yep. And I've covered my run with plastic because I think that's the big issue is to just keep the wind away. But they don't need to be heated.
Yeah, no drafts or anything, you know, but they don't need heat. We use a heated water base just to keep our water thawed out in the winter. But other than that, they don't need a heat lamp. It's actually detrimental to them. So,
in part, they're still wild animals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've been domesticated, and we have different breeds and stuff like that. But they're pretty. They take care of themselves.
Yeah, some breeds are better suited to northern climates.
Yeah,
and there's
cold hardy birds and not cold hardy birds. I mean, living up here, you're going to want some cold hardy breeds.
Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks for the phone call. Great question, and how interesting that they can stay safely warm, even at extreme temperatures. Chickens are much hardier than we are. Jake writes to the program and says, I might be called a monster for saying this, but after they stop laying eggs, do they slaughter into decent meat?
Sure, they're delicious. Yeah.
That was fast.
Yeah, they're good stew hens. We process our own meat birds, so it's gotten easier for us. I mean, we do them for friends sometimes, and I know Dave has asked me a few times. I think it was before you lost some in your predator incident.
I think just
the universe took care of that for you because you were really debating, like, what to do. You were like, should I slaughter these birds or should I just keep them? And then a fox ate them. So it solved it for you.
Yeah, it didn't solve it for Dave, but he didn't get to eat them. The fox did.
Yeah, one except the fox ate them. So. But
yeah,
they're very
different.
Good.
Yeah, I personally don't butcher mine when they get older, but I also stagger their ages, so I will always have a couple young ones and a couple.
Definitely.
One I have now is about 6.5, and she might still lay, but we'll see.
But can you slaughter something you've named?
Oh, sure.
I don't know if I could, but maybe I could give it to
Shannon. Shannon's had a lot of practice.
Well, I mean, when you have, you know, 30 to 50 to 60 chickens at a time, you know, and you're going into winter and you're not going to feed them all through winter if they're not all laying every day and it's cold and you've got coop space issues. I mean, we're going to have an issue in about 2 months where I've got to probably process about 15 to 20 of my older layers. They're only about 18 to 24 months old, but you have to do it because they're not laying as well and they're not kind of paying their way. So,
Monica, any plans to slaughter yours when they get past laying age?
Nope. We are vegetarian, so it's not an issue for us.
And then a separate listener wanted to know if you could let them die naturally and still eat them.
No.
No.
No, I mean, if any animal ever dies, you just don't eat them. Like, it would be like hunting. Like, do you eat the roadkill on the side of the road? You don't know if it died 3 days ago or 10 minutes ago. I would never. Or what killed it?
Yeah.
Was it disease? Did it have pneumonia? Did it have bone infections? Like, you wouldn't want to do that.
Okay. Trying to answer as many of your questions as we can this hour with our guests who own chickens. Three of them in the city. One used to be in the city and is now in Honey I Falls when the chickens overran.
They overtook us, yes.
Dave Shine, Shannon Hyde, John Paul Tackett, and Monica Devine Haley. And here's a question. We actually had a couple of different people ask about other animals. And so here's James. Okay, I'd like to sell my lawnmower and get a goat. Seriously, where is the livestock line in the suburbs? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, here's an answer. Don't get a goat for mowing your lawn. They hardly ever eat grass unless they're really, really hungry.
Oh.
They're more likely to eat your shrubs, your car, your front door wood peeling off, your window panes. So we have goats, and they're not good lawnmowers.
But if you live in the suburbs or in the city, Are you allowed to own other animals that are?
We were just talking about this. We think that they are. It is legal to keep them in the city.
I think it's in
keeping.
I read in an old code, that you can have cloven-hoofed animals in the city, but this is code that hasn't been updated and probably haven't had too much of a problem. But
well, now
there's some. Everyone's going out and getting a goat, but there's like some ethnic populations who have goats in the city. I know, and they keep them for, slaughtering them. So I know there are goats in the city here and there in little pockets, but it's not really that much of a popular pet, I think, in the city. So that it shouldn't be.
And before I get back to the phones, a couple of questions on bugs. Listeners want to know, do they reduce the bug population in your yard?
I haven't noticed any significant decrease because of them.
Do they eat mosquitoes? I know they eat bugs off the ground. They don't eat mosquitoes.
They'll eat mosquito larvae if you've got a wet area, and they might dig that up and eat it. But they're not really great at, they'll eat ticks like out where we are. If we have them free ranging in a big open area and there's ticks, they'll eat them. But it's not, you don't notice a huge big decline in your insect population. So,
And flies will propagate in chicken poop. So they're as far as house flies, they're.
Yeah, I mean, housekeeping is really important. Especially in the city, I found I was really cleaning my coop a lot just because I didn't want any odor or flies or anything. So,
how good are the eggs, by the way?
Delicious.
The best.
Yeah.
The best. I have more eggs typically. Right now, I don't. I'm waiting for my new girls to come online, but I barter with mine. I have a friend who's an art restorer, and we have a contract. I provide her eggs. And she does framing and restoration for me, and I also I have a couple of friends who like the eggs so much that when they want them, they'll come and buy them from me.
I suspect, based on the idea that chickens will eat anything you give them, food scraps, fruit, even meat, that the taste of the eggs is somewhat dependent on what they've been eating. No,
I think overall there's a couple different schools of thought about this, and I've been trying to parse a little bit. There's a lot of consistency in terms of what they produce, because they have to produce, they have to provide the ideal conditions for embryonic development. So, but within that, I notice that the quality of the flavor of we're getting is a lot better.
If you crack an egg from the grocery store next to one of our eggs, I mean, you see just a color difference. There's a taste difference. I mean, the grocery store eggs now they don't taste like anything to me anymore.
And they're watery. So,
They're almost orange, the yolk of the
eggs in the grocery store can be up to 6 months old before they sell them to you. That's how old they can actually be. So, I mean, we're eating eggs that are laid yesterday, and there's just a huge taste difference.
And the yolks are a deep reddish orange color, and the flavor is a lot more flavor to them.
If you've only eaten grocery store eggs, you're in for something different?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
One of our farming friends listening online says on Twitter, roosters' purpose on the earth is to defend their hens. They are dangerous to humans.
No. I have a couple really nice roosters, but I have a couple who they'll kind of like challenge me. They put their wings down and they do this like funny little dance and they kind of run up to me like they're going to go after me. And I'm like, really? But no, I mean, once in a while they'll kick you or something, or they'll just kind of run up to you. But I mean, no, I don't think so. I haven't had that experience, at least. I've liked all my roosters. And if they're mean, then they go to the freezer. They go to freezer camp pretty quickly. Oh, so.
learning a lot. They know.
They
know about the freezer.
They know.
Patty in Brighton is next. Go ahead, Patty.
Hi. I want to start out by thanking this group for what they're doing. It's really great. I'm a member of the Facebook group, and they put out a lot of great information and really help remove some of the barriers of entry into chicken keeping.
So, what's the Facebook page, Dave? What's the Facebook page?
This is the Rochester City Chicken Club.
Okay, and go ahead, Patty.
A couple of other comments on previous things, and then I'll tell you really why I called. One is I teach ecological design, also called permaculture. So we teach a lot of people about chicken keeping and what an important part they can be about creating a garden design, a garden system that works really well together. So I have noticed that my chickens are really great at reducing the June bug population in my garden, and they're also really great for reducing the coddling moth larva, which is a common pest of apple trees. So I would say that chickens do make a contribution to reducing bugs in the system, mostly at the larval stage. They also eat slugs and snails. The other quick thing I wanted to say is that while eggs may not taste different based on what they're fed, the nutrient quality is different. So there is a lot more nutrition in an egg that's been produced by a hen that is well fed and eats chicken scraps and gets out and around in the grass. So that's another comment I wanted to make. Why I really called is I want to encourage people to be activists. Through my work, I run into a lot of people who are frustrated because their code does keep them from keeping chickens legally in their towns, which is kind of mystifying given that many of our surrounding towns were formerly agricultural places not so long ago. So I just really would like to encourage people to work with their towns, try to get the code changed, work together as a group with the Rochester City Chicken Club or other members, because really it's more of the surrounding towns that are a problem for chicken keeping than the city itself. And I'm hoping that leaders will eventually change their point of view. Most cities have about 3 days' worth of food in them, and in my mind, a good leader wants to make sure that their citizens have access to clean water and healthy food, and so encouraging people to produce some of their own food, whether it's a small garden, a few chickens, that sort of thing, is would be a sign of great leadership. And in order to do that, as citizens, we need to have code that supports that.
Patty, thanks for the call. It's a lot to think about there. And Dave, just brief thoughts on what you've seen change in terms of municipality or not in the recent years.
The trend seems to be positive. More and more cities. I don't think Irondequoit's been had chickens permitted for very long. It seems to me when I started that they did not. So I do know that Ithaca does not permit them, and there's currently
Ithaca doesn't.
I know, yeah. It's very
Finger
strange.
Lakes. So if you're listening on WEOS 89.5 FM in the Finger Lakes, I'm surprised to hear that anybody down who's listening on EOS all the way to Ithaca wouldn't.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but my understanding is that that's currently a hot topic of debate within the city council.
Okay. Our phones are swamped all of a sudden. Ooh. So let's get through as many quick comments and questions. Okay. We'll keep it moving. On the web, Ed wants to know, what options do you have if going away for a weekend or even a week? Real briefly, what are you going to do? Monica, you're going away for a week. What's going on with your chickens?
We have some very nice, helpful family members, and we actually do have some neighbors that have chickens that have helped out on occasion.
Oh, it helps to have a neighbor with chickens.
You got to make some friends, and then they get a basket of eggs at the end of it. So usually people sign on.
Mm-hmm. John Paul, you're going away. What are you going to do?
I have roommates to take care of them, fortunately. So.
Okay, you've got roommates to do it. Dave?
Same thing. I have friends who will come and lock them up and let them out.
Okay.
When we're going.
Shannon?
We have a farm sitter because we have pigs and dogs and
cats.
Yeah,
you're in a little bit of a different boat.
Somebody
there.
Has to come stay at our house.
Got to have to have a neighbor or friends. It's just like if you got a dog at home and you need somebody to do something.
Yeah,
there you go. Back to the phones, and let me see here. Kent, Lima, try to keep it moving. Go ahead, Kent.
Hi, Evan. Yeah, I just got a funny little story. My son and I, we got four chickens, and we were very careful to make sure we didn't have any roosters because they're so loud. And a couple of times we've been out there, and there's one female, and she gets so excited, she starts cackling like a rooster, and it's the funniest thing. She just made a rooster call, so we did a little research, and apparently in the absence of a rooster, one of the females will become the dominant one.
And yeah,
so
that's true, and they'll start crowing. Yeah,
and they start crowing.
They start crowing.
Though.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, there's certainly the pecking order.
Yeah,
that's where the term pecking order comes from.
It's a real thing.
what a great story, Kent. And that leads me to ask what some might be wondering: absent roosters, how loud do chickens get?
Depends on the breed. Some silkies, and we were talking about barred rocks, tend to run loud. Other breeds are really quiet. I had Australorps. I don't think I ever heard them, unless they were being attacked.
Okay.
Yep.
They're kind of chirpy, funny. They're funny.
They are.
Mm-hmm. They have like lots of different noises, too.
Yeah. They talk to each other.
I sort of know a little bit of their language now. I can kind of tell what they're talking
about. Yeah, like when the rooster does the
you
call,
can tell what they're talking
he'll
about.
Make the sound like when there's a hawk going over, and he'll be like, arr! And I look up now. Like, I know that he's saying there's a hawk above us. And then I look at him like, I understood that, you know?
He's only like, hello.
Yeah.
Mary Jane and Webster. All right, Mary Jane, go ahead.
almost 80 years ago, my grandmother at North and Herald Street kept hens for eggs, feathers for her wonderful feather pillows, and also for chicken soup. And one day she told us that when she was chopping off the head of the hen, the body got away from her and was running around the barnyard. And when often we children weren't behaving, our mother would say, "Sit down, you're acting like a chicken with its head off."
That's where the phrase comes from. You've actually seen it. Oh,
that was a good story.
Mary Jane, you can call with your stories anytime. She also has a great radio voice.
You can call me anytime. That's a great story.
Isn't that great? Wow. All right. So we've got about a minute left here with our panel. Quick final thoughts. John Paul, what would you want to leave our listeners with? They're thinking about this. What do you want to leave them with?
Well, it's definitely a lot of work to get into, so don't just jump into it overnight. But it's a great thing to just go out in your yard every day after working and just relaxing and watching your birds, listening to them talk to each other. So I would just encourage you to join the group and look into it more.
Shannon?
Food freedom is very important. Mm. And if you can eliminate one thing that you're buying from the grocery store, it would be great if it was eggs. So get some chickens.
Monica?
You know, I think people are going to be more receptive than you might think. You might be surprised about it. We find that people walk through our neighborhood and toddlers come with little baggies of oats and feed our chickens. So don't just automatically think that people are going to be against you for making that choice.
That's cute. That's really cool to hear that. Dave?
I've made a lot of connections in my neighborhood with eggs and with chickens, and so it's been extremely rewarding. Anybody who's going to start, Rochester City Chicken Club on Facebook.
On Facebook, Rochester City Chicken Club. Learn more this hour than I thought I possibly could. And this is really just so interesting. So really, thanks to our guest. Dave Schein, thank you so much. Been great to see you here.
Thank you very much.
John Paul Tekich, thank you.
Thank you.
Shannon Hyde, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck with your more than 50 there.
Thank you.
And Monica Devine Haley, thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you.
Really interesting stuff these 2 hours. Have a great afternoon, and we will talk to you Wednesday right here on Connections on Member Supported Public Radio.